Hello. Welcome to this first thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
All right, everyone, this is the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast with evil shadows and dogs and Neverland and cop dramas.
And electrocution.
Yes. We're here to talk about Second Star to the Right. This is the First Thoughts episode.
Mm-hmm.
And just a quick bit, if you will please allow me, a quick bit of housekeeping news. We will be recording a further discussions for the Evil Queen this week, as well as one for
this episode.
Yeah, Second Star to the Right. But okay, we do have a bit of news. Unfortunately, we're going to have to cancel the live show that we were going to be doing next Saturday. So sorry about that. Work and life gets in the way sometimes, and that's just the way it is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So we will do our best to do the further discussions and get caught up. But after the first thoughts next week, have the finale and then the further discussions after that, including any voicemails or emails, then we'll be taking the summer off and focusing on other things and all that. So anyhow, so this was a wild episode. It was a lot of different things going on. So help me out, because you're better versed at these types of things than I am. Kensington Garden?
Yes.
Was that in Peter Pan?
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, I believe it is Kensington Garden, where there's a statue of Peter Pan, actually, in London now.
Yep.
But for sure, Kensington Garden is a definite... I mean, it's part of London.
Yeah. I did actually like the way they kind of made it so that Bay fell down what looked to be like, you know, the fairy tale land forest that we're used to. But then he kind of took a look down and saw... that it was maybe a force outside of London. So there wasn't any portal thing that he did after. He was just kind of there. And I thought it was interesting. You know, it's the one thing I'm really impressed with is even last week, the whole town, CGI towns they are creating in the different houses and stuff in the background really look great.
Oh, they're amazing.
So
yeah, they are amazing.
I was impressed last week and this week. I mean, now they have the whole London.
Right.
So I did see most of the first 8 minutes, so it was kind of the second time I've seen it. But the first thing that kind of hit me was it reminded me of Oliver Twist. You know, the poor boy, hungry boy with the hat. It kind of had that feel for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I haven't had a chance to look closely at it, but it almost seems like Wendy picked up a Tinkerbell statue to hit Bay with when he came in the window. So.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I didn't really notice that that Regina was holding a gem, this black diamond that turns out that they
actually,
were calling
it. Chocolate. Yeah, it was chocolate brown, but yeah.
I think it was officially called a black diamond. Anyway, but I couldn't tell. I mean, I looked and I got a screenshot and I did the auto correct of the colors and lighting and all that, mm-hmm. and I still couldn't tell.
Oh, wow.
But when the first 8 minutes, you could tell because they were twisting it around. So anyway, but I couldn't talk about it last week. So, all right. Dr. Whale showed up. Dr. Frankenstein Whale.
Yeah.
Showed up as kissing the boot of Gold Rumpelstiltskin. And I think he is the Home Office. That's what I think. I think he's behind this whole thing.
Hmm.
Possibly. Why should he just kind of show up out of the blue?
Well, because, you know, he's there.
Right. But it is kind of interesting that he would just kind of just...
be there? He's been there the whole time. It's not like, you know, and he didn't remember who he was. So I don't think he's the Home Office.
Well.
Which I think is kind of funny that they're using the term Home Office.
Yep. I don't know where David Letterman got it, but that's the first time I ever heard anyone, David Letterman.
Oh, yeah.
Home Office.
Well, no, that was that's a very military thing if you actually, especially World War II.
Okay. All right.
And actually probably before that, but yeah. They referred to it as the Home Office.
So we did see for the first time someone actually around the rabbit hole door on the side of the building.
Yeah.
We actually saw it kind of police taped off because it was after the whole Wraith attack. And when we visited Steveston, they were kind of repairing things after the Wraith attack.
Right.
So, again, what a wild Wraith attack and Dr. Frankenstein. It's just been a wild season.
Yeah, it has.
And it still continues to be so.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was... it was interesting to see Starsky and Hutch, I mean Emma and David, walking into Regina's office, guns drawn.
Yeah.
Like a, you know, police drama.
Right.
And then Henry goes, well, you're not going to hurt my mom, are you? Mm-hmm. Well, they got guns drawn. And they go, no, we're just here to... and it was like, well, what do you think they're doing with guns? I mean...
Anyway, yeah, kind of a funny little thing. I mean, it was kind of like, wait, why is he there again?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we did officially now see the cannery. So the cat is fully out of the bag. And now it's in play because that's where you take evil queens to go shock them.
Right.
The cannery.
The cannery, yeah.
Okay. Silly me, I thought they were... canning thing. I guess they can sardines.
Yes.
For sure.
For sure sardines.
I thought they were going to can beans. Magic beans. I thought that old Grumpy was going to outwit everybody and say, you know, we've got some canned beans. But no,
not so much. No. Not so much.
Okay, so Hook, Greg, and Tamara are on this same little team.
Right.
And it kind of reminded me of, and I mentioned it to you, Return to Oz. I never saw the movie, but I know it dealt with shock treatment for Dorothy.
Oh, wow.
And it was really a strange movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, so... and Greg said it was going to be unpleasant, and I think that's... kind of a pat statement that, you know, these people do when they're going to be torturing someone.
Yeah, it is almost like a very 1950s, you know, evil blah, blah, blah kind of a thing.
Yep. So Wendy's mother, did she have a name in the story? I don't recall.
Mr. and Mrs. Darling.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can think of. She might have had a name, but...
Yeah,
Wendy's name, full name is Wendy Moira Angela Darling. That's her full name.
And, you know, the other children, obviously.
Michael and John.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Wendy's mother may have been tipped off by the seer. because she was pretty quick to kind of look at him and go, "You're staying with us. Welcome to our home." There was no proof. There was no discussion. It was kind of like, but it was kind of beyond someone being kind.
I think she was just being kind, right. Honestly. Right. I don't think she had any kind of connection, anything magical or anything like that.
Well, the dad was not kind. He was like...
The dad was, if you think about it, and she even said, I know times are very difficult, you know, and that's why she wanted him to stay there, because she understood, and the streets are no place for a kid.
Right.
And that was, you know, it was either the streets or the workhouse. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely not a place to send a child. But people did, and I think the dad was just thinking in terms of another mouth to feed.
Right, right.
You know?
And you know where I remember the term workhouse from?
Oliver Twist?
No.
Okay.
A Christmas Carol.
Oh, okay.
Scrooge. Aren't there workhouses?
Yes.
Why should we give to the poor?
Right, you know? Right. Yep.
Workhouses.
And the sad fact is that, you know, the workhouses were, that was hell on earth. It was not a place for a kid. And yet kids ended up in the workhouses all the time.
Yeah. So the shadow, I don't know if it's Peter Pan. I mean, it's alluding to it because that was the whole thing.
Right. In Peter Pan, his shadow detached itself.
Right.
And was playful and mischievous. This thing seemed very creepy and evil.
Well, in the end, I think it has some kind of connection to the Wraith somehow.
Maybe it is a Wraith.
Because.
A form of a Wraith. I don't know.
Bay used a flame.
Right.
It looks like he used a lighter.
Yeah, it was actually, I think it was matches, which is funny.
I would hope so.
Which he stuck in his pocket, I think, when they were preparing, you know, for battle, which kind of reminded me of Home Alone, too, by the way.
Absolutely. And I saw the things when he was sprinkling things on
the jacks on the windowsill. Yep, yeah. Yep. I'm like, it's a shadow. It's not going to step on the jacks, dude, which is kind of funny. But anyway, it just felt very dark and evil and twisty, and I didn't like that. Because Peter Pan's shadow was not dark and evil and twisty.
No. Nope.
It was playful and mischievous.
And, you know, I get the story twist that they've done pretty much all along, but it was almost like Bay was kind of throwing cold water on this whole fun idea of somebody coming to take them to another land.
Right.
And basically changing the story outright. And instead of saying welcoming him, even in the movie Hook, though, it was kind of frightening.
Well, remember that's when it wasn't the shadow that came and got the
Hook.
Kids. It was Hook himself.
Yeah.
But, so that's a whole different ballgame. Yeah.
But that was the one thing the way it was filmed and shot and music and all that, it kind of reminded me of Hook.
Yeah. Well, so. And again, I think it was because, Hook was Peter left Neverland and grew up.
Right.
This was Peter Pan may or may not even be on the island. Because if the Lost Boys are there and they can't leave, I don't think Pan's there. So I think that'll be interesting to see what happens there. But I just couldn't tell if it was Peter Pan's shadow or just some crazy, weird wraith-like thing.
Yep. And
the glowing eyes were kind of creepy.
Yeah. And that again,
and it was three dimensional.
Wraith.
Yeah. And it was three dimensional. Shadows are not three dimensional. So it was kind of an interesting take on the shadow.
All right. And the clock was at 8:15.
But that was later.
Right.
Okay.
Sure. I just didn't want to forget. So I still am not buying the snow has a heart of darkness or something. She was still very concerned about Regina.
Right.
Wanting to help her, concerned about her, wanting to. We'll get to the other part, but I didn't buy it. Dark Snow.
No, she's not Dark Snow. And what was interesting is that I'm thinking to myself, Dark Snow wouldn't have cared less that Regina was hurt or gone. Right, In fact, she would have welcomed it. Dark Snow wouldn't have tried to help. Yep. At all. Just wouldn't have. So that's what I think is kind of interesting. Anyway.
All right. So then we have Gold and the babe there at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And so he cooks up this empathy spell, and that really, really intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
Is a spell that would give you the feelings of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty cool, actually. And so, you know, for the first time, she actually felt physically mm-hmm. what she was going through. And of course, she was being shocked by Greg.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, that was probably the most, the cool, well, early on part, I was really intrigued by that. That she actually felt what she was feeling. And I think it was kind of a nice touch. So.
Well, it was interesting that he had one of Regina's tears. It's kind of one of those things of, yeah, why do you have that again?
Yeah.
How'd you get it again?
I think the whole Black Heart Snow thing, and she's under this power of suggestion that she was told that, and she's totally believing it because she was told that. But I don't know. I don't know if Regina tricked her. I don't know if it was kind of a fake thing that she did, but I just don't believe that, you know, okay, when people say, well, what about when she hit Marco? Okay, good point. But it's not taking over her. It's still at a choice level.
Well, but okay, so let's go here. It was a spot.
Right.
So that's probably why we're not seeing a lot of darkness. We're seeing little tiny itty bitty pieces of it here and there. But that's about the extent of it because it's just a little spot. If it had taken over like half, if it was growing and you know, taken over more of her, that'd be a whole nother ball game. But yeah.
And Wendy told Bay that he just didn't believe. And that's why, you know, he wasn't kind of getting it. And he was like, no, 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 it's dangerous. Stay away. Magic comes with a price. You don't want that. And she's just like, no, no, it's fun. You know,
there are no grown-ups to tell us what to do. Blah, right. Blah, blah. Yeah, right. And then he reveals that he's actually seen magic and it's not a good idea.
So then things kind of took a turn in the episode when Tamara and Greg say that they are believers.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of...
They're from a group of believers and that magic is unholy. And right. I'm like, wait, what?
So these terms, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I mean, these terms are very religious, particularly Christian terms.
Right.
Believer, unholy.
Mm-hmm. Cleanse.
Cleanse. Mm-hmm. These types of things. You know, look, exorcism, these types of terms are there. So anyway, just kind of interesting. And, you know, that's why I kind of go to Dr. Whale, because he and Rumpelstiltskin were kind of having, especially Gold. He and Gold were having this kind of what's more powerful. Remember that? That's one scene that sticks in my mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is remember Gold said, you know, you're going to have to tell me you need magic, and he mm-hmm. did, and mm-hmm. he put his arm back on.
Right.
So it's kind of like this. Yeah. So. This little battle.
Well, and I guess what... Okay, so here's something that just kind of popped in my head is this whole, you know, Greg and Tamara are just... They're gonna do whatever they have to do to rid the world of, you know, magic. But it totally doesn't fit with his personality when he was taking all those videos and saying, you're not gonna believe what's going on here. Just, he was very timid, very scared, very childlike.
Right.
Now all of a sudden he's Mr. I'm in control and I'm gonna shock the daylights out of you, literally.
Right, right.
And if I have to kill you, I have to kill you. Where's my father? Where's my father? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's just, it doesn't fit with his personality when he first got there and he was first in the hospital and calling Tamara. So anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what's kind of interesting about him, especially his storyline, there's always these mysterious people that you never know who they are,
mm-hmm.
but you know about them, or there's some kind of a name, home office, her. You know, it's you never really know who they are,
well,
but you know something about
this
them.
Whole thing kind of reminds me of Lost and the whole Widmore and his whole thing trying to, you know, find the island, blah, blah. I mean, just it's very, very Lost-like as far as having this secret organization.
Right.
That's, you know, they're there to do the pure and right and true thing and ridding the world of evil and blah, blah, blah. And then you see what they do and it's like, wait, that's not pure and good. That's bad.
Well, and it's also like Battlestar Galactica. I'm not going to go on and on here, but the Cylons, you know, only believed in one god and everybody else believed in multiple gods. And so if you were to look at that, you would say, well, they represent, you know, Christianity, although they're bad. The Cylons are, you know, that kind of a thing. So, like I said, all I'm doing is looking at phrases and kind of what they mean to
me.
Right. That's all I'm doing.
Right.
So, anyway, thanks, Adam and Eddie. Thanks. Okay. So, this whole snow empathy thing in a way reminded me of the Fire Room.
Although
she wasn't asleep. I totally understand
right,
that.
Right, right.
But it was this kind of glimpse into some other thing.
Yeah.
Some other a glimpse into something else. So,
well, and anyway. It was. And the weird thing is that, okay, she's totally aware, totally conscious. She's supposed to be able to see everything Regina sees, feel everything Regina feels. Right. And I don't know if the pain blinded her, quote unquote, to everything around her because it was so unbearable. Or if it was just part of how the spell itself works, that she really can't kind of see everything. Because she should have been able to see Greg's face. She should have been able to see the machine.
Right,
she should have been just able to see everything. You know, and I do like the fact that, you know, she says, well, it smelled like sardines. And then I'm surprised she didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
I'm surprised David didn't know what that was. It's only the cannery, which is like right there in the middle of the town.
Right.
So it just kind of amused me that they, you know... And then Neil and Emma happen to be walking on the docks, and then that's when the phone call happens. And, oh, by the way, she smells sardines. I know where they are. They're in the cannery. Come down to the docks.
I was finally thrilled with Emma. She was finally right.
Yep.
She did some good old-fashioned
detective work,
mm-hmm. and it worked.
Yeah, it
was
did.
I was so happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
She did the old look on the ground.
Yep.
See the sand from the shore that's not from the, you know.
Forest.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So now we have a problem.
Right.
You know, Neil still just didn't want to believe.
No, he didn't.
That's fine.
He didn't. Yeah. You know, because he wanted to believe the best.
So Wendy told Bay about this Neverland, that there were mermaids and fairies and magical creatures.
Right.
And all that kind of thing. But that the shadow wouldn't let you leave. And if I remember right, she said, when you set your foot on the land.
Yeah, once you set foot on the island, you can't leave.
Right.
The shadow won't let you leave. And then he's like, wait, how did you escape? And she's like, it didn't want me. It wanted a boy.
Well, what did that remind you of? You haven't seen a lot of scary movies. I have.
No, I don't.
It reminded me of Poltergeist.
Oh, right.
In that not letting the children leave or something.
Right.
There was something about that.
Right.
And, you know, go to the light, don't go to the light,
that kind of
a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just reminded me of Poltergeist. So, and the shadow only wants boys. And when I heard that, I wonder if that's some type of a Rumpelstiltskin thing, because... I don't know, but he did want Emma's child, Ella's child, which was a girl.
Rumpel wanted, yeah.
Anyway, I just, you know, Okay. My bad. Anyway. Just, yes, that was the first thing I thought about Rumpel, wanting right, children.
Right. Rumpel wanted the children. But yeah it wasn't. Rumpel's not the Wraith.
Yep.
Or the Shadow.
All right. The lacy necklace scene reminded me of the nightmare, mm-hmm. two nightmares ago,
yep.
that Gold had.
Yeah.
And that was the one where Grumpy came in and said, away. I want my axe.
Right.
But before then, he put the necklace on Belle.
Right. Rumpel put the necklace on Belle.
Yep.
And then Grumpy burst in and demanded his axe.
So that was that nightmare.
That was that nightmare.
He's had a few of them.
And I'm pretty sure it was the same necklace.
I'd have to check, but...
Yeah, it looked very, very similar.
Okay, I wonder where the rendezvous point is that Tamara was talking about. I don't know where that is. So...
Well, I'm wondering if it was down. If it was the campsite, because...
Could be, yeah.
Because she ended up there
right.
with Greg while he was digging up his dad's bones, or at least some bones that he thinks are his dad's. We don't know for sure that it's his father.
That was pretty hardcore when she said, I killed him.
Yep.
I killed him after you left.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
I still think he's locked up. I don't think he's dead. Yeah, I think he's locked up.
I know that she's the evil queen. I know that last week she said, kill them all. Mm-hmm. But I just, she's not a killer. I mean, every time someone has died around her, she's got somebody else to do it. She's very much like a Rumpelstiltskin.
Right.
I mean, I know Rumpel's killed people, and it sounds, Jeff, you're crazy, but Rumpel likes to kind of put other people in play to do certain things for
right.
him. So
it keeps his conscience right. in his hands clean. Right. Well, and I think with her too, there's enough good in her because she was a good person.
Yeah.
You know, and there was enough good in her that I think that it's got a stronghold over at least a little part of her heart.
Yeah.
So it's not completely black.
So Bay sacrificed himself for Wendy and her family.
Yep. And I had a feeling that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because the minute that she said, it wants one of my brothers, then I knew, okay, well, that's how Bay gets to Neverland. Because he's going to end up either he's going to volunteer or it's going to take him instead, thinking that he's one of her brothers.
Mm.
But I knew that was the only way he would end up in Neverland.
You know what else that reminds me of? I just thought of this, is of the Ogre War collecting of kids.
Mm.
It kind of reminds me of that idea.
A little bit.
Of, you know, and only wanting boys. But the ogres were, they wanted girls as well. But I'm just saying, just that the idea of collecting children. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Rumpelstiltskin, you know, did ask for babies, you know.
Right.
So, anyway, for what it's worth. So then we have the corner, kind of like Laurel and Hardy meeting at the corner. We've got Neil and Emma. We've got Snow and David kind mm-hmm. of meeting at the corner.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
it was kind of funny, but
guns drawn on each
guns
other.
Guns drawn,
yeah.
mm-hmm. And so Snow and David catch Greg.
Right.
Dude,
I was like, seriously, David, you didn't shoot him? You didn't kill him right on the spot?
Yeah.
I would have at least wounded him.
Right. And I think it happened so fast.
Possibly, but I'm like,
you know, me, look, what I would have done, she goes, you know, we can't leave her. I would have said, take her to the Blue Fairy. I'm getting Greg.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done. I mean, that's not leaving anybody.
No.
That's just like, please, you take her to the Blue Fairy.
Right.
I got to get this guy.
Right.
You know, and even later on, I know we're skipping ahead, but even later on, it was just really, you know, there are good moments in this show. And the moment of goodness of, you know, Regina was still kind of shocked, you know,
mm-hmm.
you saved me. Why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just look, even though we have differences, we're family.
Right.
You know, and you know, I know Adam and Eddie caught some heat about the whole idea of adoption and different things and all that. But, you know, it's just so nice that at the core of it, it's like, even though we have differences, we're family.
Mm-hmm.
And family's messy. Family's hard. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
People don't get along sometimes, but, you know, so, you know, again, it's one of those core themes that I think are pretty cool. So
right.
I did have some difficulty with the sameness of the portal opening. You know, according to what we've heard, to open a portal, you need a bean and a compass.
Mm.
But this time, they were like the Blue Fairy bean situation with Bay and Rumpelstiltskin. We just throw it on the ground. Then it opens up. So I guess in Storybrooke, you don't need the compass.
No, because think about it. You wouldn't need a compass because it's going to take you wherever it's going to take you.
Okay.
But to get to someplace specific, you would need the compass.
All right. Perfect. Okay. Yep.
That makes sense to me.
Got it. But so the Emma holding on to Bay and Bay falling into the hole, the portal.
So Tamara shot him.
Right.
And was going to blow his little head off.
Yes.
And then Emma magically gets up at that point and kicks her butt. And then doesn't kill her, but I was like, oh, please do. Please just rip her to pieces. Please just shoot her right in the head right here and now. Just get rid of her.
You're very violent.
You know what? I don't like Tamara. I don't like her.
Okay.
I don't like her.
All right.
I have never liked her.
Okay.
So I would have been totally fine if she'd been just killed right then and there.
Okay.
That would have been great.
We're just talking about the show, people.
Of course we are.
All right.
I'm sure the actress is a lovely young lady. However, the
character... Very busy, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The character is horrid.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, Bay falls through the portal to I don't know where, because we don't have a compass, so it could be...
We don't know where it is.
It could be the Lion King story.
It's probably Wonderland. Probably Wonderland.
Well...
You watch, it'll be Wonderland.
Okay. Okay.
And if not, then Oz, maybe.
We'll see. So, then I stopped writing after that. I had trouble kind of forming words after that. So,
yeah. So,
you can help me.
So, yeah. The fact that, you know, they have Regina back at the house didn't...
Oh, the Blue Fairy healing Regina.
Right.
I thought that was really cool because I, for some reason, I thought that that she might not want to do it.
Yeah,
she's the evil queen. I can't do that.
Right.
But it was nice that she did.
It was good that, because, again, she's supposed to be really good. So being that she's really good, she's going to naturally do it. What I thought was interesting is, why didn't they just call her to the cannery right then and there?
Yeah.
Because... supposedly, she can hear you calling for her, right?
Yeah.
So, the fact that they just took her to the house, that was kind of interesting. But the fact that they didn't even bother to wait to see what happened with Emma and Bay. What happened?
Right.
Well, and then Emma is saying he's dead. See, the fact that Emma is convinced he's going to die no matter what land he ends up in. No, that's not true, because where was he shot? He was shot in his side. Doesn't mean he's going to die. He wasn't fatally shot. Well... actually, it wasn't his side. It was more close to his chest, but it was on his right side, not his left.
Yeah.
So, anyway, point is that, you know, I love the fact that he did say, look, you need to stay here. I love you. Mm-hmm. You need to stay here, and you need to, you know, take care of Henry. He can't lose both of us. Because, you know, that would have been kind of silly for him to have, for her to have gone again as
right.
well.
Give me a Star Wars moment for that moment. Give me one. It's only one.
You're the Star Wars expert.
Not when Han Solo was going to get frozen.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I love you. I know. So anyway.
Yeah, well, and the fact that Emma said it first, that she was, you know, so emotional. And so it was, you know, it's kind of a sad moment.
Yeah.
And then, you know, watching him slip away into whatever.
Right.
There were supposedly two beans. So where's the other one?
Mm-hmm.
Greg and Tamara have the other one. They now also have the trigger.
Right.
Which is a bad thing. And they supposedly know how to use it because the Home Office knows how to... I'm like, how does the Home Office... office? No. Tell me how a home office that's
Dr.
from...
Dr. Whale. I think it's Dr. Whale.
I doubt it because Dr. Whale has been in Storybook the whole entire time.
But he would know.
He wouldn't know. That's what I'm saying. Okay. He wouldn't know. Right. He has no concept of, you know, I just don't think he knows. But anyway, my point is, who possibly knows about this trigger?
Yeah.
Who? How is that even possible? Rumple is the one who created the curse. Regina, supposedly, he created a failsafe in it, but then she created the trigger.
See, and that's just...
I'm like, wait. How? Wait, what? She requested the trigger, so then go to freaking Rumple Stiltskin and ask him.
No, and this does remind me a lot of Lost in that, you know, you think you know everything, and then they have to go back and reshoot this thing, and you see it from a different angle, and you say, oh, well, there was more to the story.
Well, so, of course there is, but... Anyway, point is that, you know, Emma saying, you know, condemning Neil to death, basically, by going, well, he wouldn't survive it. So, all right, I guess he's dead. And then saying he's gone.
Yeah.
She killed him. No, she didn't. She shot him. He went and tell them where he went. Tell them what happened. Don't leave it at this. He's dead.
Yeah. So the believers are intent to cleanse magic from this world, and it appears that they're going to be using this
trigger
to do such
wipe
a thing.
Wipe it off the map. Oh my
so,
gosh. So back to the whole, let's go back to the apartment for a minute. The scene where Emma's explaining to David what's going on, and he, you know, kisses her head. It was a very sweet, tender father-daughter moment that was a good moment. I liked that. That was a very nice moment. You know, I liked the fact that the Blue Fairy said, you know, now that the cuff is off, she'll be fine. So the Blue Fairy took the cuff off somehow.
It's the toughest metal in all the world, and it's just the most incredible thing.
It's whatever it is, but yeah.
Something. And,
but point is, how did she know to take the cuff off?
Yeah.
There's just so many questions. How did she know to take the cuff off? I don't know, but she's incredible. Anyway, she took it off. She knew that was part of the problem. She took it off. So that being the case, then now we have Emma having to tell Henry that his father is dead, which isn't going to be true. And again, that's going to piss off Henry when he finds out that Bay's not dead, because Bay's not dead. He's just in some other world now. Then we've got, Greg and Tamara up in the forest, and Greg digging through and finding his father's, you know, article of clothing and a skull. That's about all he's found so far. And then Tamara coming up going, gosh, sorry about your dad. So anyway, so the home office wants us to move things up a little bit. What?
Yeah.
What does that mean? And what's the home office? And really?
Yeah.
My gravy.
One thing I got to say is we got one more episode. I hope it's the best in the world. I said, come on. And it was like.
There were moments that were really good. And then there were moments I was like, come on, guys, really?
They got rid of my August. No more sage advice. He's fulfilled his youthfulness. You know, Megan's all grown up good and fitting in. And
So the thing that kills me is now we've got these story arcs that are like leaving all these other characters just out. Where are they?
Yeah.
Why haven't they shared anything with the dwarves about the beans? Why haven't the dwarves like found it on their own and said, oh my gosh, we have a problem here? You know, why haven't maybe that's what'll happen is maybe somehow Anton will go back to Regina's office, see the plants, and he'll say, I can make it produce more beans.
See, what we're really talking about is like an 8-hour episode next week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the longest thing in the whole world.
There's too many loose ends right now that aren't going to get wrapped up, unfortunately.
All right.
But anyway, so yeah, it's just, this whole,
Yeah, I know.
I'm just, I don't even know what to say now.
I know.
All right. So the first thing I do want to say is I want to thank everyone for listening. Got a great email from somebody that listened almost from the beginning and has never emailed or tweeted or Facebooked us at all. And we'll be discussing that in an upcoming further discussions. And so I want to thank everyone. Since the beginning or last week or 2 months ago that listens, that found us, however they found us, thank you so much. Lots of choices out there, and thanks for letting us yak at you a little bit about Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
So, I just want to send big love out to everybody. And it's tough times. I think we're kind of over our cold.
Yeah, sort for of, the most part. There's still of. Lingering little mess here. So
we'll be doing some little further discussions. And then the, like we mentioned before, unfortunately, we're going to have to cancel the live show that we discussed before. So there's going to be no live show. We'll do our first thoughts for the finale. And then we'll do further discussions after that, and then we're going to take the summer off. So thanks, everybody, again, and hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.